Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship services at the California United Church of Christ. Leading worship is Reverend Lena Eddy. You're also always invited to be in church with us in person at 10:30 at our sanctuary at 101 North Oak. Sunday school is at 9:30. And if you can't get to church but would like to watch us online, you just Google the California United Church of Christ, and there's a link on our opening webpage where you can watch church and even see the morning bulletin with it. You're certainly always welcome to be with us either way. Thank you for listening to A Time of Hope.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. Risen Christ, you prepare a place for us and walk beside us even now. When our hearts are troubled, you speak peace. When we are uncertain, you guide us in the way. Open our hearts this day and trust you deeply and to live as your Easter people. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Cantrell has our children's time.
Good morning. Good morning. Do we have any Boy Scouts in here? Do I have any Boy Scouts? No young ones, huh? But I got Patrick back there. He's a Boy Scout. Norman, okay. If we go on a hiking trip or a camping trip, what do we need? What do we need?
A water bottle.
A water bottle, okay. What else do we need?
A tent.
A tent. Okay, what else?
Food.
What?
Food.
Food, yeah.
A backpack.
A backpack. What? A camping book. What would we need a camping book for?
To make sure we're not lost.
You know that's called a map, right? Back in my day, they used to come in a book. Okay, what else, Johnny? Okay, but how do we know where we're going? Well, with a map, right, but look at this. What is this thing? That's what we need the Boy Scout for.
A compass.
It's a compass, you know what it is. See, a compass, right. Bosco, sit. He's not behaving very good today, is he? He's been on a long trip. We've been gone 3 weeks. Too long.
So.
I was working, so we had to travel. If I gave you a map that looked like this, see? Could you find out where you're going?
No.
Uh-uh. We couldn't tell, could we? What do we need?
Country.
We need roads, don't we? Would this one help you?
Yeah.
Would that one help you?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, we gotta have a place. We could use our compass. What about a flashlight? Yeah. Think we need that? Okay, let's see what else I got in here. helicopter. Would that help us?
No,
not really on our camping trip. What about the space shuttle?
No.
No? Okay. All right. What else have I got in here?
That's made of Lego.
What's this?
Camping book.
It's not a camping book. Well, it could be, because in the Bible they did camp out, didn't they? It's a Bible. What would a Bible, Bosco, get up here. What would a Bosco, yeah, what would a Bible and a map have in common? What do both of these do?
Help you where you're going.
They help us where we're going. And where do we really want to go? We want to go to heaven, don't we? Be with Jesus? So we can't take a helicopter there, and we can't take the space shuttle there. But does Mom and Dad ever read you a book like this? It's a Bible story book. As you're little, huh? It's got pictures in it. It's falling stuff out everywhere. So as we grow up, we learn stories about the way. Because we need to know the way, don't we? We need to know how to get to heaven and how to be with Jesus. And how do we do that? Go ahead, say it. We read the Bible. That's right. And we come to church and we go to Sunday school. And that helps us find our way, because we don't want heaven to give us a map like this, do we? No. We want a map like this that's got the way that we get there, right? Because Jesus said in the Bible, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And that's the only way we get to heaven. Yeah.
And if we use the map that isn't labeled, we might get lost and then you don't know which
way. That is right. If we have a map that's not labeled and we don't read the Bible, we're going to get lost, aren't we? Okay, let's bow our head and say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for being our way and for giving us the disciples who helped teach us the way, and our pastors, our parents, and everyone who helps us find our way in life. Dear Jesus, we thank you most of all for the Bible, who has the best roadmap there is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick and accompanied by Ellen Ash, sings I Will Sing Praise. Scriptures, followed by Pastor Eddie's sermon, Porches, Houses, and Rooms.
Our first lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter
chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Be like newborn babies who are thirsty for the pure spiritual milk that will help you grow and be saved. You have already found out how good the Lord really is. Come to Jesus Christ. He is the living stone that people have rejected, but which God has chosen and highly honored. And now you are living stones that are being used to build a spiritual house. You are also a group of holy priests, and with the help of Jesus Christ, you will offer sacrifices that please God. It is just as God says in the scriptures. Look, I am placing in Zion a choice and precious cornerstone. No one who has faith in that one will be disappointed. You are followers of the Lord, and that stone is precious to you. But it isn't precious to those who refuse to follow him. They are the builders who tossed aside the stone that turned out to be the most important one of all. They disobeyed the message and stumbled and fell over that stone because they were doomed. But you are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now you must tell all the wonderful things that he has done. The scriptures say, once you were nobody. Now you are God's people. At one time, no one had pity on you. Now God has treated you with kindness. Our second lesson comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. After I have done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together. You know the way to where I am going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't even know where you are going. How can we know the way?" "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus answered. "Without me, no one can go to the Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father, but from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Jesus replied, "Philip, I have been with you for a long time. Don't you know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you ask me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that I am one with the Father and that the Father is one with me? What I say isn't said on my own. The Father who lives in me does these things. Have faith in me when I say that the Father is one with me and I am one with the Father. Or else have faith in me simply because of the things I do. I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, you will do the same things that I am doing. You will do even greater things now that I am going back to the Father. Ask me, and I will do whatever you ask. This way, the Son will bring honor to the Father. I will do whatever you ask me to do. This concludes our reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to stand up here for a little bit today, okay? Because I miss these guys all the time. It is an honor to be back today, and I am really joyous to see you today. There is a story about a family who their children had gone on a long trip, and they settled down in this town, and they wanted their parents to come see them. And so the parents decided that they would come and see them. They settled down, and they had been settled for a lot of years. So the kids did everything they could do to make things ready for their parents. They'd washed all the windows, you know, all those things you don't want to do. They power washed the outside of the house. Guys do that? No. I figured you didn't. And you guys dusted all the walls. You don't do that, right? No. And they took the comforters off the bed and washed them because they were dusty, and they dusted the floors, and they did everything that needed to be done so their parents would come and stay with them. And so the day had come, and the parents had packed their bags, and they were ready to go and start visiting their kids. It was morning time, and their bags were in the car, and they started to drive off. And they drove for about 4 hours, and they decided that was about as long as they wanted to drive for one day. And they found this cute, quaint little town, and there was a hotel there, something a little better than our hotel down the street. If you've ever been in that hotel, it's not all that great. So they stashed their bags in the hotel, and they decided to go for a walk. And they saw this beautiful house, and it had a huge porch. And the porch had chairs on it and pillows, and there were hanging baskets and wind chimes. And it was a beautiful color. And they were just looking at this house, and the lady came out of the house, and they asked, "Could we sit on your porch for a little bit?" And the lady said, "Sure." And they enjoyed the rocking chairs as the wind and the breeze just gently flowed over them. Not like our wind that we've had for the past few weeks that would blow you over. It was a beautiful porch. Nothing could go wrong there. There were no creaks when you walked on it. It was stained just right. You could see every car that went down the house, down the road. You could watch every kid that was playing in the park next door. It kind of was like that house, you know, the one that's catty-corner from here? Like the one next door to the funeral home? The one that, you know, does the tea party things? I've never been in there, but I hear it is beautiful. And I've been told that the porch is just a wonderful place to feel safe and feel comfortable and to feel just right. I'm going to join you guys now. Well, they saw the house and they visited on the porch and they loved that porch and they said, you know, when we go home, maybe you can build that porch, huh? And her husband said, yeah, right. Not in my lifetime am I going to build that big porch on our house. It would take too long, and I am not doing that. So they got in their car, and they drove another 4 hours towards their daughter's house. And they decided to stop again, and they saw this huge house. You know, like those huge houses out in Sedalia? You know, those big ones that are tall and have those round things on them. You know, the ones where the siding is coming off because they've been standing there for so long and no one has really taken care of them. They got out of their car and they looked at the house, and the man that was there kept taking the siding off, and this couple said, can we help? And he said, no. But the door was open, and they asked, can we go into your house? We'd like to see what it looks like. And believe it or not, the old man said, yeah, you can walk into this house, but be careful. I don't know what you're going to get. So carefully they walked into the house and they creaked. The wooden floors were not necessarily very safe. And they walked up the first set of stairs and there was an old woman in the front bedroom. And she was dusting the walls that had so much dust on them, she couldn't even see the color of the paint. And she had a smile on her face, and she was just happy in what she was doing. And she was dusting everything off. And she took the curtains down and said, oh, these need to be washed. So she threw them in the hall. And the pillows that were laying there, she said, oh, wash. And she took the linens off the bed, wash. And she swept the floors, wash. And the old woman said, this was my daughter's room, and her name was Joy. And she took a picture down, and she rubbed it off, and she cleaned it, and she showed this couple this picture of this little girl riding a bike, and the child's name was Joy. And she said, this was my daughter, and this was her room, and she was so full of joy when she lived here. This was her room. This was her dwelling place. And she hung up the picture. And she said, no matter how we paint this room, no matter how we dust this room, no matter what we do in this room will always be named Joy. And the couple said, what about all these other rooms in this house?
What about all the rooms down the hallway? What are you going to do with them? Well, we're going to decorate them and we're going to name them. Come with us and we'll show you. And we walked down the hallway and she opened one door and she said, this room is going to be called Hope. And she had decorated it and she shut the door. And the next room she opened, and she called it Peace, and she shut it. And she kept going down the hallway to all the doors. This one is Love. This one is Grace. And she came to this one and she said, this one is Grief, because we can't deal with life unless we deal with the grief that we feel. This one is sadness. My Father is making these dwelling places for us. Jesus went up to deal with his Father. Jesus went to be with his Father, to make those dwelling places for us. Jesus built those dwelling places. Those dwelling places of hope and peace and justice. And those dwelling places of sadness and sorrow, that we might live and live even more better than we live now. This is who we are and what we do. This is what Easter is about. Easter is not about the last time I was here and we celebrated with the song, Christ is Risen. And if you were here for the last service, you might not have heard me, because I might not have had a voice. Friends, Eastertide is today. We have been in the season of Easter all along. Eastertide is from Easter Day until the 24th of May. So every pastor that is in this place of preaching can be preaching about Mary at the grave, or the road to Emmaus, or doubting Thomas, or even Philip, what he was doing today. We are in the season of Easter. We are in the season of Easter, and it is not over. We are here now. We are here to be a part of this season. We are here to live it, not just to remember it. We are here to live the resurrection, to live the joy of the Easter season. My hope for you is, if you find that dwelling place in your life, if you find that house that was like those in Sedalia, or even the one here in California, if you find that dwelling place, if you find that room that you really don't like, that you are able to open it and clean it out and learn that during this Easter season, that it is time to let go of it, that it is time to enjoy this Easter season. It is time to enjoy the resurrection, that it is time to be a part of the resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's an easy saying. I say Christ is risen, and you come back with, he is risen indeed. Let's try this. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen and amen.